Hey everyone. So bad news, Katie and I have been really sick this week. Maybe you can tell by the sound of my voice, but we were definitely not up for recording a new episode this week. And so what we're going to do instead is we're going to post an older episode, one of the first ones we did actually, because we realized that we've picked up some new listeners that maybe haven't had the opportunity to go back to some of our earlier episodes to listen. And so we're going to give you one of those. And if you've already heard it, that's great. And if you have not heard it, then even better. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next week.
Hello. Welcome back to another episode. Again, my name is Brian.
And I'm Katie.
And we are the Hesses. Last episode, we kind of ended on a note talking about maturity and immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to pick up on that because we've had some, I guess, more recent thoughts on that topic.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, how are you doing?
Doing well. Yeah. Super pregnant. Still.
Let's mention, as of recording this, Katie's super pregnant.
Yes.
By the time you hear this, we will already have had the baby. We will.
That's true.
So we're talking about things that are going on right now.
Yeah.
But that will not be true for when you're listening to this.
Right.
But
you are currently listening to things in the past.
Yes.
Yeah. So right now, I'm 37 weeks.
Right.
So getting very close to the end, which I am super excited about. I feel like this pregnancy, it's still been like a really great pregnancy and not been like, you know, awful and long and, you know, painful and all those things. But I think I'm more ready for this pregnancy to be done than I have been with any of the other ones.
Yeah.
Part of me like really loves being pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of me is like, okay.
Yeah.
I just want the baby.
You haven't enjoyed it as much this time.
No. And I think probably part of it is that like I just haven't really had as much time to just enjoy it.
Sure.
We've just had
our schedule is
very full.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall doing well. It's been a good week.
Yeah.
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 How about you?
I'm great. I just got a haircut.
Yep.
That's always a good day for me.
Right. We love haircut days.
One of my favorite things is getting a haircut.
Yep.
And I've always joked about this, that I'll know we've made it financially when I can afford to have a standing weekly haircut appointment.
Yep.
To me, that's it.
You've made it. We have made it to the top tier, people, when every week.
And it's funny.
Brian's hair looks the same.
So the same guy's been cutting my hair for maybe 5 years.
Yeah,
at least.
Say at least, yeah.
I'm one of those people, I like to have one barber, and I find somebody who's good. That's it.
Yeah.
And he's the only one allowed to cut my hair.
You stick with him.
And I've moved, you know, with him from different barbershops. Now he owns his own place and he's doing great. And his prices have gone up and up and up. And it's one of those things. It's like, it's more than I thought I'd be paying for a haircut.
Sure.
But it's a situation where I walk in and he knows me. He goes, hey, do you want the same thing? And I say, yep. And that's it. And then he cuts it exactly how I want it.
No explanations, no wondering if he's going to do a good job this time or having to show him pictures, which I feel like I've never found that person.
Yeah.
And my hair is difficult to cut.
Right.
Because it's so thick.
Yeah, you have very thick hair.
Typically people, like, I feel like every single time I go to get my hair cut, people are like, whoa, you have a lot of hair. And I'm like, oh no, that's just like a bad sign.
Yeah.
Right off the bat, because I get so nervous because the blunt cut situation is not good for me. It doesn't look good. Makes it look really choppy.
Yeah.
And it's just not nice. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But that's what happens 90% of the time, even when I say I need it to be like feathered at the end.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do?
Yeah. Yep. So anyways, one day I look forward to having money in the budget for a weekly haircut.
Yeah. So look for the signs. If Brian's hair starts to look the same every single time you watch our videos, you'll know that we're doing okay.
People have been watching the podcast. If it gets longer and longer with each episode.
Tell your friends to watch.
Tell your friends to watch the podcast because Brian needs more haircuts. Okay, so let's talk about immaturity. Now, on this episode, I think there's only like two main points we'll hit on, and there are 100 we could.
Oh yeah,
100 things we could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't remember if we've mentioned this. A couple of years ago, we used to run a discipleship school through our church.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I always loved teaching on was the topic of sonship. Mm-hmm. And there's a teaching that we used to do where there are 5 stages of sonship. And in the Bible, in the New Testament specifically, there are 5 different Greek words that we find son is translated to, or child.
Right.
Or translated from, I should say. And each of those stages implies a greater level of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an overlap where we think of maturity in like natural terms. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we think about it in terms of just kind of growing up and sure. having greater understanding, greater ability, and our mind is being shaped.
Mm-hmm.
There are spiritual implications and spiritual overlap
yeah.
with each of those. So right. while we mature naturally, there's also a spiritual aspect to it. And with that, I won't go too far into that because it's a lot. But, you know, with that, there are different ways that we can track the level of maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different things we can look at in how we live, in the decisions we make, the way we think about things.
Mm-hmm.
That all shifts as we become more mature.
Yeah.
I guess all that to say, there's a lot we could say, but mm-hmm. there are two main things we'll kind of hone in on.
Right. So it's a bit more easy to grasp rather right. than like, yeah. whoa, this is so
maybe much sometime
yeah.
we'll go into like the whole thing, but it right. is a lot. It would mm-hmm. probably take several episodes to get through.
Yeah.
And one of the thoughts that we've had, something we've joked about often, is the saying that parents will use of kids will be kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's just always been so funny.
Yeah. It's like a glaze over, like, huh?
Yeah.
Kids will be kids.
And it's funny that I've never heard a parent say that after their kid did something extraordinary or kind or thoughtful.
Yeah, that's true.
I've never seen like a young kid hold a door at a restaurant for, you know,
yeah.
for an old couple coming in.
Yep.
And somebody say, oh, that was so thoughtful of your kids.
Yeah.
And a parent be like, well, yeah, kids will be kids. Because that is not typically what we equate.
Right.
Yep. You know, we don't think of kids and behavior in terms of the thoughtful and the respectful
mm-hmm.
and the obedient. We think of the opposite.
Right.
You know, they hit their siblings and yeah. they break stuff and mm-hmm. they put toys in the toilet.
Right.
They do dumb things.
Yep.
They're dumb. They don't think.
Yep.
They're disrespectful. They're disobedient. And that's when you hear parents saying, well, kids will be kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, that's kind of the expectation, is that's how they are.
Right.
Right. And so while we joke about that, there is an aspect where that's true, that kids will be kids. And what we mean by that is the behavior that we associate with kids being kids,
mm-hmm.
That seems to come more naturally to them.
Sure.
But as I've thought more about that, I think what comes naturally is not just the bad behavior, but what comes naturally is emotions.
Mm. Yeah.
And having emotions is natural.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what to do with those emotions is a learned behavior.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
As you can probably relate to as an adult
right.
listening, and we can relate to
yeah.
as adults and parents that like still, we're still in the process of learning.
Right.
Or even like, I guess, applying would probably be a better word rather
sure.
than learning, because I feel like we have learned how to manage our emotions. Maybe still new things are popping up.
Yeah.
However, that's not to say we do it perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of times where, you know, the emotions get the better of us.
Right.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Emotions pop up and then you can have this like instinctual
mm-hmm.
reaction of just like, here's what I'm going to do because of what I'm feeling.
Right.
But yeah, so that's what the kids are operating out of. That's what yeah. our kids operate out of.
Yep.
every time because that's all they know how to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kids don't need to be taught how to feel angry
right.
or how to feel joy.
Yeah.
They don't have to be taught how to feel those things. Mm-hmm. What they need to be taught is what to do with those feelings
yep.
when they come up.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we've started saying is, yes, it's while it's true that kids will be kids,
mm-hmm.
for that reason, parents need to be parents.
Yeah.
So kids will be kids. They don't know what they're doing most of the time.
Right.
They need to be shown a more excellent way.
Right.
They need maturity to be modeled for them.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, parents need to be parents.
Mm-hmm.
So we as parents, our responsibility is to become the thing that we hope to see in our kids.
Yeah. Yep. So they can see a living example right in front of their eyes consistently, continually.
Yeah.
Until they're like, oh, okay. Mom doesn't just like smack dad in the face whenever dad does something to make mom mad.
Yeah.
They talk about it and they work something out together.
It's weird. I've never seen mom or dad lash out at the other one.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen them, like you mentioned last episode, you shared a story where you and Izzy had a really rough night.
Yeah.
And you raised your voice.
Mm-hmm.
But you even said, and this is true, that like you can count on one hand.
Yeah.
All for the years we've been raising kids now,
mm-hmm.
you can count on one hand the times that's happened.
Yeah.
Because you and I have worked very intentionally.
Yes.
At becoming the kind of people that we hope our kids will become.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes becoming people who have emotions while simultaneously thinking through what to do with those emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that you and I don't lash out and we don't yell, that isn't because we don't get angry.
Right.
It's not because we aren't frustrated ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because that we have learned how to be angry, how mm-hmm. to be frustrated, how to be tired, how to be hungry, and still choose to act in accordance with who it is that we want to be.
Yes. Yeah. We can still choose to be reasonable humans.
Right.
When we're feeling all those things, because mm-hmm. it is more difficult to be kind and to choose to take a deep breath
mm-hmm.
and then respond rather than just lash out when you are super tired, when you only slept for 2 hours the night before, when you've been snacking all day but not actually had like a good meal. Mm-hmm. Like things like that are genuine, like real and honest factors that can affect how you go about your day.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that that's an excuse to just become reactive and mm-hmm. irrational and crazy. So it's obviously going to be easier to just allow yourself when those factors are happening, because those are real things, like mm-hmm. I said, but that doesn't mean that that's the best way.
Well, and that ties into what we've talked about, the difference between responding and reacting.
Yeah.
So what you were describing basically is just reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that comes from not really taking responsibility for who you want to become, for how you're acting.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about that is, if I'm an irresponsible person, you get to dictate how I act.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Our kids get to dictate how I act.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to hold myself responsible for the way I behave.
Mm-hmm.
So you do something I don't like, I'm going to lash out mm-hmm. and I'm going to become this angry rage monster husband.
Right.
But it's your fault.
Right.
That I'm that way. Because if you didn't say that, if you didn't do whatever it is that I don't like,
mm-hmm.
then I wouldn't have to become so angry.
Right.
Right. And that's what irresponsible looks like.
Mm-hmm. When the fault falls completely on the other person or whatever else is going on around you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't want to have to hit you. I didn't want to have to push the kids. I didn't mm-hmm. want to have to do whatever, but they acted a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's their fault that I did that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't have had to.
Yeah.
Right. And that's so irresponsible.
Right.
Totally powerless.
Yep.
It gives all the control to everybody else. Mm-hmm. Everybody else gets to control the way I act.
Right.
Yeah. But a responsible person can look around them and they can see that their wife and their kids are going to do whatever they do.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do something that I don't like. The kids could do something that I don't like. But if I'm responsible, I'm still going to choose to act in accordance with who I want to be.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the people around me do.
Mm-hmm. And responsibility and maturity just fall so hand in hand because mm-hmm. as an immature kid, which they all are, blanket statement, all kids start out immature.
Yeah.
It's what happens after they, you know, or as they are kids from the parents, the teaching, what goes on, you know, as far as like structuring the home around them, that's when they can start to fall into maturity. But I feel like, you know, like you said, we've talked about responsibility and irresponsibility a lot so far, but they go together. So you can't be responsible and immature.
Right. Yeah.
In the same way that you can't be mature and irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
Because a mature person will say, hey, I'm actually really upset, but I'm actually going to choose to remain true to who I am. And I'm going to treat you consistently with kindness until we can work something out together.
Right.
Instead of adding to the commotion and the drama, which we've experienced a decent amount with our kids, of just adding to chaos. And so we have to navigate not just one immature kid, but two who are like feeding off of each other. Because, you know, if you have multiple kids, I know that you've experienced one kid being upset about something and then the other kid observing their sibling being upset about that thing. And then they just get upset about whatever they're dealing with just because they're feeling the emotion from somebody else. But as parents, we can take that situation and we can kind of guide them through like, hey, I understand that you are feeling really emotional here. But what can we do differently to make this situation better and work together to find a solution?
Right. I get you don't like what your little sister's doing.
Yeah.
It's, she's annoying. I get it.
Yep.
But there, what is a better way for you to respond to what she's doing? And we have those conversations regularly.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, hey, is there, can you think of a better way to talk to your sister? Or like you're trying to get, and this has been a regular conversation because Izzy is the little sister and she annoys Nora. And that's what little sisters do. And sometimes the fault is on Izzy, but sometimes she's really not doing anything bad. Nora's just in a bad mood. And so she'll snap at her. And so we'll have that conversation. We'll say, hey, I get you want Izzy to stop, but the way you're going about that, it doesn't seem to be working. So see if you can find a different way to talk to her. And Izzy is, I mean, it's like clockwork that if you speak respectfully and kindly to her, she'll do pretty much anything you want. But the minute, like the minute you ask her with like a tone or an attitude, she's like, well, I'm not doing that.
And she's like, I'm going to do exactly what you don't want me to do. But that's one thing that I've loved that we have put into practice with our kids is getting them involved in the problem solving process. Not just saying, hey, do this instead, which we do sometimes, just like, hey, here's an alternative behavior. Here's an alternative response. Maybe try this next time and see how that works out for you, because clearly what you did
was not
the best option.
It's just not working.
So let's try something else. But that way, that gets their brains working and it kind of allows them to maintain that responsibility again to take ownership of their behavior and actually see like, hey, I'm actually capable of making a good decision by myself. Because if as parents, we're constantly making decisions for them, they're never going to feel the need to even think for themselves. And so somebody who is maturing and somebody who we want to become mature, we have to allow them space to actually do that themselves or they're just going to be dependent on us. And so when we're gone or not in the room, or, you know, if they're at their cousin's house or whatever the situation is, they don't have to be responsible for themselves because they've never actually been relied on to make that decision themselves. And so we have to give them the freedom to kind of get there and arrive at like, okay, this isn't working out well for me. Maybe mom and dad are right. Maybe I should try something different and allow their brains to figure that out.
And the hard part is you have to have those conversations probably a thousand times before it kicks in.
Big time.
And sadly, I don't feel like that's an exaggeration.
No.
I think, I mean, there are conversations that we have every single day. But even though we haven't seen necessarily the fruit of it yet, mm-hmm. because we're still having to have those conversations, yeah. we trust fully that one day, mm-hmm. maybe tomorrow, maybe a year from now, maybe yep. 5 years from now, I don't know when, mm-hmm. but I do know for certain that if we'll stay consistent, that one day it's just going to click.
Yeah.
And we won't have to have that conversation anymore because they'll get it, whatever right. it was that we were talking about.
Yeah. And we can be confident in that because we've seen those results with other things that we've put into practice.
Yes.
It's like, okay, I've been telling you this 50 times a day for 2 years and mm-hmm. still nothing.
Right.
Like it seems like it's just coming in one ear and going out the other. But then all of a sudden.
Yeah.
One day it's like, oh, there it is.
Yep.
There's the behavior that we were going for.
Yep.
That's what we were trying to like get yeah. them to see. And they're doing it.
Yep.
And it's like the best. You just feel so accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, they were hearing me. And a lot of the times when you're waiting on that behavior to kick in, it's genuinely due to brain development.
Sure.
Of where they can actually process the things. But mm-hmm. that doesn't mean that we shouldn't start telling them those things before they can actually process it.
Right.
Because the more times they hear something, the more likely they are to actually like really hear it and take it to heart
yeah.
when they can actually fully process it.
Right. And the thing is, if you wait until they are able to fully understand what it is you've been trying to teach them, you don't know when that will be for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're holding off for that moment, you may miss it.
Right.
You may go way too far.
Yeah.
You may try to teach them something when they're 10 that they could have learned at 4.
yeah.
You know,
which is
but if you,
a nightmare in all the ways.
Right. But
yeah.
if there's something you're trying to teach your kid and they don't really have the capacity to understand until they're maybe 6, mm-hmm. say, it's okay if you start at 4
yeah.
and you work consistently until you hit that point and then they get it.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, if what you're shooting for, you know, can't take root until they're 6, you may not know that. You may try at 8. You may
yeah.
try at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you're working backwards.
Yeah. Yeah, because I feel like if you've heard something for the first time ever,
mm-hmm.
usually that's not like, oh, this is really, like sometimes it's like, oh, this is very important and I need to do this.
Yeah.
But if you hear something consistently, it's like, oh, this is valuable
mm-hmm.
to mom and dad. This is valuable to whoever it is that you're hearing it from.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's more of a weight that falls onto that
yeah.
subject or that request or whatever it is.
Right.
And so you're helping your kids out by being consistent
mm-hmm.
and getting them started earlier than later. Because if you're just expecting your kid to follow suit the first time you ask them to do something, I hate to tell you, it's probably not going to happen.
Right.
But when you're consistent, when you show them, hey, this is important to me, this is a value that our family holds, they're more likely to actually
yeah.
do that thing.
Right.
Because they see that it's important.
Mm-hmm.
And your kids love you and value you. You know,
yeah.
like when you show your kids, well, honestly, even when I feel like I've seen it when parents like don't love their kids very well, but the kids still think that mom and dad are like
yeah.
the best people in the entire world
yep.
and like cannot do wrong. And so, you know, your kids want to be obedient. They want to love you well, but you actually have to teach them how to do that.
Right.
And how to love you well and obey you well.
yeah. Those are learned behaviors.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about, I mentioned that we're going to give two specific
yes.
Traits of immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting about these is we'll talk about how they show up in our kids' behavior, but we'll also talk about how they show up in the parents' behavior.
Mm.
Just because somebody has grown up, just because they have a bigger body than they used to, and they're older than they used to be, it doesn't necessarily mean that they've matured.
Right.
So the first one is the first trait of immaturity. And we say this is a trait of immaturity because this is kind of default
mm-hmm.
for kids.
Sure.
And it is that they act very immediately and mm-hmm. reactively on their emotions.
Sure.
So we've been talking about this already, but that's classic kid behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And think about a time that Nora hit Izzy.
Mm-hmm.
Which thankfully doesn't happen often, but it does happen.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, there are a couple things we have to realize. One, that just continues to show that Nora is still learning what to do with her emotions.
Yeah.
She's mad probably because Izzy was annoying her
mm-hmm.
again. Izzy did something she didn't like. And again, sometimes they're both at fault.
Right.
Sometimes it's like, Izzy, like, that wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes she just wants to, like, be physically close to Nora.
Yep.
She wants to be cuddly and playful.
Yep.
And Nora's not into it
not
in the moment.
Having it.
And so Nora might push her or yell at her.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, the other thing we have to realize is that Nora didn't in that moment. She wasn't, like, calculating all the different ways that she could respond.
Sure.
And she didn't choose that as the one that she thought would be the most optimal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would have the greatest outcome.
Yeah.
It was just an instinctive, immediate response to what she was feeling.
Right. She's not thinking, like, in order to foster mine and Izzy's relationship
right.
to the best of my ability, I think I'll hit her. You know?
Right. Yeah.
That's not how they can think yet.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's, I have a feeling and I act immediately.
Yep.
And so we see that all the time in kids.
Yep.
Now, the way we see that behavior manifest in parents is very similarly. Like when a kid has an emotional outburst,
mm-hmm.
right? Like tensions are high.
Yeah.
Emotions are escalating. This shows up in the parent's behavior when the kid's emotional escalation becomes the parent's emotional escalation.
Mm-hmm.
The kid's acting crazy. They're being loud. They're being disrespectful. They're hitting.
Yeah.
Right? Like there's tension in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And if their anger becomes my anger,
mm-hmm.
then I'm not really any different than they are
right.
in that moment.
Yeah.
And not only that, but I'm expecting them to do something that I am not yet capable of doing, which is kind of hard news to hear.
Right. Yeah.
But it's true.
It's like, hey, you be better than me. I'm going to be louder than you're being right now so that you do something that I right. can't do.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And in that moment, what's happening again is the parent is allowing the kids to determine how the parent's going to act.
Mm-hmm.
And so you and I have worked hard at becoming the kind of people who can be in the midst of the emotional outburst.
Mm-hmm.
We can be in the room where the tantrum is happening.
Yeah.
And we can maintain, again, we don't do everything perfectly.
Right.
We've matched their most emotional escalation.
Oh, for
there have
sure.
been times where, like, I'm tired and I'm hungry,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just not here for whatever you guys are doing.
Yeah.
So, like, get upstairs.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't, you know.
Go away.
But generally speaking,
yeah,
you and I have cultivated an ability to be in the midst of that while remaining peaceful,
mm-hmm.
and we remain joyful.
Yep.
Not happy because our kids are acting the way that they are, but mm-mm. just because, well, you're not responsible for the way I feel.
Yeah.
And so I like being at peace. So you can do whatever you've got going on.
Yep.
But, like, I'm not going to let that disturb my peace.
Mm-hmm.
And just know I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
If you want a solution, we can problem solve. I can help you find a solution.
Mm-hmm.
I get you don't like what's going on. I get you don't like we turn the TV off.
Yep.
Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
I totally understand. You're allowed to feel angry.
Yeah.
You're allowed to be frustrated. But you're not allowed to hit me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so...
Yep.
That's kind of the goal that we've set,
mm-hmm.
is becoming the kind of people who can be around emotionally escalated kids without matching their emotional escalation.
Yeah. And, like, practically just what that looks like, to kind of give our listeners and watchers a picture of that. I feel like, well, the amount of times that we have just sat quietly in a room with yeah. Nora or Izzy or both of them, you
yeah.
know. What, depending on the situation, where they're, like, crying, screaming, throwing stuff, whatever they may be doing. And we're just sitting there like, mm-hmm. hey, we love you.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you're upset. I see that you're, like, really frustrated right now. Whenever you're ready to, like, talk about it, I'm going to be right here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, like, the best thing that you can do as a parent in the midst of a tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are extreme situations, you know, where you're out in public
mm-hmm.
and you're in the middle of a really quiet
yeah.
get together, you know, and you have to, like, remove your child. You know, like, there are times where you can't just sit.
Right.
But I think the best thing that you can do as a parent, if you're at home, when you're, like, dealing with your kids who are throwing a tantrum is just to say, hey, I'm here. Let them know you're present. Mm-hmm. Let them know that you love them, even when they're acting like a fool.
Yeah.
And say like, hey, I'm here. And just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Let them do their thing, get their emotion out. It's actually necessary for kids to let their emotions out sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we've talked about the wind-up toy. There's an analogy that we heard from Lael Stone is her name, if you want to go look her up. But she talks about this analogy where kids are like wind-up toys, that every no, every we have to leave, every
inconvenience,
hey, you can't have that snack, you know, every inconvenience to what their little brains want is another wind-up for them. Mm-hmm. And as a wind-up toy, eventually it has to unleash.
Eventually it can't be wound anymore. Right. And it has to release
the tension that the wind-up function has created. And so kids are very much so like that, that like every inconvenience towards them is another wind. And so eventually they just kind of have to explode and release the tension that has been building. And that may be one day. They may have enough, you know, inconveniences just to fill up one day. It may be a week. It may be 2 weeks. You don't really know the timeline. But eventually, for their like nervous systems, it's good and healthy and normal for them to throw tantrums. And so that is actually an inconvenience for parents, though.
Sure.
And so we have to learn how to navigate our own inconveniences in the process of allowing our kids to learn how to navigate their inconvenience. Mm-hmm. But kind of getting off on a tangent, but that's just a really nice illustration. And that has helped me so much, I feel like, as a mom, to just give our kids space to feel.
Yeah.
Because it can be really hard to let your kids feel whatever they're feeling, especially like just specifically with negative emotions.
Right.
Of course, it's not usually inconvenient for your kids to be feeling joy. But yes, as parents, going back to what I was talking about, just so you can see it's practically, if your kid is having a really hard time, let them know you're there for them, comfort them. Some kids don't want to be touched when they're having these types of tantrums. They don't want to be held. They don't want to be loved on. So give them their space, but still be in the room and just let them know like, hey, yeah, I'm here for this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be here for you when you're done and I love you and we'll work it out.
Yeah.
And just letting them go through it all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to assume that like a tantrum is really bad behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And of course it's not ideal.
Right.
But like you said, it's actually completely necessary for kids sometimes to have that emotional release.
Yep.
And when you give them space to do that, and you don't try to take over and control their emotions, and you don't try to force them to feel a different way.
Yeah.
You let them experience the emotion.
Yep.
Give them space to do that. What happens is they're done. And then when it kind of comes to an end, you can be like, all right, are you done?
Yep.
Like, are you good?
Yep.
Is there anything else you need? Or, you know, like you're like, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
But, and here's where a lot of parents get into error is that they try to manage their kid's emotion by giving them whatever they think will stop the tantrum.
Oof, yeah.
So let's let that lead into the second point, and we'll talk more about that too. So the second point I want to make on immaturity is that immature people, so this is for both kids and immature adults, they have a really hard time looking beyond the present.
Mm-hmm.
So what maturity brings to the table is the capacity to cast a vision for the future and to be able to determine who I want to become, the kind of life I want to build, the direction we want things to go for us.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings with it the capacity to make decisions now that we know will affect the future.
Sure.
So kids don't have that. So like we said, kids will very quickly show you exactly how they're feeling.
Yeah.
Because they're not thinking about an hour from now. They're not thinking about tomorrow.
Right.
They're not thinking about 5 years from now.
Yep.
They're not concerned about who they're becoming. Mm-hmm. They just know that there's something they want right now in this moment.
Yep.
And their action is driven by the desire for instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's what they're driven by.
I want a treat right now. I don't care if it's 30 minutes until dinner.
Right.
I want ice cream and I want it now. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to get upset.
Right. So yep. Let's use that scenario. Dinner's in a half hour.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they know that. Maybe they don't. So they come into the kitchen and they're like, hey, I want some ice cream or I want a cookie or can I have a treat? Something like that. And we can explain to them, well, actually dinner is about 30 minutes away. Mm-hmm. So we won't have anything else before then. But after dinner, you know, if you eat dinner, sure, we could talk about ice cream or a cookie or whatever we've got going on. And most likely that will lead to some kind of emotional response.
Sure.
Whether it could be a big tantrum, it could just be stomping out of the room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because, like, they're not thinking about the future.
Yeah.
All they know is right now in this moment, I want a cookie.
Yep.
I want ice cream. And all I know is that you're telling me no, and I don't like that.
Yep.
And I don't like how that's making me feel
mm-hmm.
because you're not doing what I want you to do.
Yep.
Now, the way this behavior manifests itself in parents will be one of two ways. Either, like we said, the kid has an emotional outburst, and that creates the parent having an emotional outburst.
Mm-hmm.
Again, because they're not managing their emotions well, and neither are we.
Yep.
Nobody is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it could happen that way, or what happens is they don't enjoy being around those negative emotions.
Right.
They don't know how to be in the room while their kid is experiencing that.
Mm-hmm.
So what they'll do is they'll find a way to justify giving them the cookie, giving them the ice cream, because that will ease the tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening there too is the parent is in that moment, they're not casting vision for who they want their kids to become.
Yeah.
They only know that right now in this moment, I don't want you to throw a tantrum,
mm-hmm.
so I'm going to give you what you want, and I'm going to step in, and I'm going to try to control your emotions, because I don't trust you to control your emotions.
Yeah,
I don't trust you to manage yourself, so I'm going to do that for you, and I'm going to give you the very thing that will ease that tension.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, long-term, what's happening is you are creating in your kids the belief that I can get whatever I want by throwing a tantrum.
Yep.
And so maturity looks at the long-term ramifications
mm-hmm.
of our actions.
Mm-hmm.
And a parent who is mature, who understands this, will have a willingness to endure momentary difficulty or discomfort
mm-hmm.
for the sake of long-term growth.
Yes. Yeah, so, that's so good.
So, Nora, I get you want a cookie right now. If you eat your dinner, I'll be like, well, sure.
Sure.
We'll work something out.
Yeah.
Right. It's not that I don't want you to have a cookie. It's just that right now is not the best time.
Right.
And so you leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
She could throw a tantrum. She could respond however she responds.
Right.
Her response is up to her. That's not really up to us.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Our job.
Control her.
No.
Yeah.
Our job. Yeah. We've talked about that. We're not interested in controlling her or managing her emotions for her.
Mm-hmm.
But rather, we're interested in teaching her how to do that.
Yeah.
So, long term, we want to raise kids who aren't completely like hedonistic, who live their lives purely based on the demand for instant gratification of desire
mm-hmm. and impulses.
And yes, an impulse.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to raise kids who are able to be inconvenienced,
mm-hmm.
who have a desire, but are able to manage themselves well
mm-hmm.
in the midst of knowing that there's something I want, but I'm going to have to wait for that.
Yeah.
And to be okay.
Yes.
That's what we're aiming for.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like you said, that momentary discomfort.
Yeah.
For long-term, amazing, beautiful growth.
Yes.
Because the amount of times, as you're talking about that, I'm just thinking of the times where Nora like heard somebody else talking about cake or saw a commercial for a cookie. Or, you know, like saw some kind of treat in some capacity, even like a billboard. And she's like, oh, I want a cookie. You know, that spurs that impulse. Like,
yes,
I see that. I like that. And I want it now.
Right.
Where literally 5 seconds ago, she was not thinking anything about having a treat.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, because her brain has been triggered, that's what she needs like right now.
Right.
Or else I'm going to be so upset and I'm not going to make it. So like just those learning or teaching them how to control themselves in those moments, mm-hmm. which it seems so frivolous, you know, with that type of an example. But you know, like we've said, what you're teaching them now as young kids, you know, the thick of parenting that we're in right now, very minimal consequences to these things. However, they can learn to apply those principles to the bigger consequence times of learning to control their impulses, where, you know, their behavior is actually well thought out and not just acting on these fleeting thoughts that come through. Because, I mean, we have those too. There are so many times where I'm like, I see a sign for like ICs and I'm like, oh man, I'd really love
I would give a lot
IC right now. But like, do I really need one? Do I need to go like pull over, spend money on this thing that I didn't even have a thought about before I saw the sign? No, I don't need that. And so just learning that responsibility and that, you know, maturity level as you grow.
It's impulse control. And it's developing a value for delayed gratification.
And with that second like response as a parent, if you just give in to your kids, you're caving to their tantrum, whatever they want. You're like, oh, just take it, you know, like whatever, like just take it and leave me alone. I feel like anytime that like I have caved, that is my thought. Take it and leave me alone. Like I am busy. I don't want to deal with this. Like, just go anywhere else. Just have the cookie and leave me alone, please.
This thing will get you away from me, so just have it.
Which is like literally just the worst. But you are, you're training that kid to take advantage of you. And to take advantage of other people as well. Because if they can get away with it with your parents, with their parents, they're going to try it on other people. Because most likely other people are going to be even less intentional than parents are. And so, like, do you want to raise kids who take advantage of people? Or do you want to raise kids who can control their impulses, who can think through and have well thought out decisions about those things?
Again, because right now we're talking about cookies and ice cream. But when they're teenagers, we're talking about sex. We're talking about drinking, talking about partying.
Stealing things. In stores.
Maybe they see something they want as they're walking out of Aldi. And there's an impulse to just grab that candy, you know? And so, again, our kids are young and we're working really hard at this so that when they're older, the bigger decisions, the bigger impulses, the bigger desires, they will have a greater capacity to navigate those feelings, those impulses, those desires. And they will have a vision. We'll teach them to have a vision for who they want to become. And we'll be able to teach them that the decisions that they make today affect the future. So, you know, me and you have a pretty great marriage. We've got a really good thing going. And so, you know, we love knowing that we're modeling, you are modeling for our girls what it looks like to be a healthy wife and mother. And I'm doing the best I can to model what it looks like to be a loving husband and, and a loving father. And then the conversation one day will be with them. If you like what we have, there are decisions you're going to have to make that will lead to that path. That path isn't going to come through impulsivity. You've got a boyfriend. And this is a scary thought to have now. But the reality is one day they're going to date. They're going to have boyfriends. And it's the same way that we right now are not able to tell them you can't throw a tantrum because they can. The same thing. They're going to be 18 one day. And in the same way we can't now say you can't throw a tantrum, we don't have the ability to say you can't sleep with your boyfriend. Because they could.
They absolutely could.
So our goal is not, again, to control them. It's not to eliminate the potential for mistakes. Our job is to teach them to think through how are their actions going to affect their future. Do you have a vision for who you want to be? If not, you need to get one. And if you do have one, you need to think through the decisions you make today, because that is going to determine whether or not your vision becomes real or whether or not you take a whole different path. Okay. I feel like that's enough for this episode. I think on the next episode, we will probably talk about the difference between demanding and requiring. It's, I think oftentimes we as parents, we can get caught demanding that our kids do a certain thing or be a certain way.
Sure, yeah.
And that's very different from requiring them.
Mm-hmm.
And those are two very different approaches.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that on the next episode.
Sounds good. Can't wait.
All right. Well, for everybody who listened and who watched, thank you, and we'll see you next time.